chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin reading verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Letter is not just addressed to the Church of Corinth, but it's kind of a universal application here. It takes on a universal application in it. It's addressed to all men that call upon the name of the Lord, both theirs and ours. So it's not specifically confined to that particular church. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now the purpose of brought about the letter of Paul to the Corinthians had to do with some divisions, disunity, as this 10th verse indicates. There were some problems in that particular congregation, as there is in all congregations some time or the other. We have difficulties. Some may be doctrinal difficulties, which are, I think, probably the worst. Or it may be some disciplinary problem that involves one or two or three, or maybe even kinsmen. And if we're not of the same mind, the same judgment, why, it can cause a lot of heartbreak, and a lot of discontentment, and all. Here, in this particular instance, personalities were involved. There were men with different gifts who were instrumental in the leadership of this congregation. Peter and Paul and Apollos in particular, three men, widely differed in personality. Apollos was a very gifted man, son of thunder, very eloquent, articulate. The Apostle Paul, very warm, instructive, very deep in doctrinal discourses. Certainly one who had a intimate knowledge and acquaintance with the truth of God. Not that the others didn't, but Paul seemed to be more so. And, of course, there was Peter, very widely different in personality than the other two. Most men, very forceful. Because of these personalities, some of the church said, we're of Paul, and some said we're of Peter, and some said we're of Apollos, some said we're of Christ. And so there was a disunity here. They weren't perfectly joined together. Wasn't united under one head. Christ is the head of the church. We are members in that body. But Christ is the head. And we derive our strength and support Him. All rules and regulations of any particular church or churches come from the head of the church. The church has no right to legislate new rules, new regulations. Our responsibility is to execute the rules and regulations that has been set forth by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. And we're bound. We're bound by the Word of God and by the love of Christ to adhere to the truth incorporated in the Scriptures here pertaining to practice, and pertaining to service, pertaining to Christianity. And we can't be running off after various personalities such as these did. Well, he goes on now, and he tells him, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. There's three or four things there that pertains to this unity. Speak the same thing. Be of the same mind, same judgment, and so forth. Well, in the 11th verse it says, for it hath been declared unto me of you. Now it's been told to me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. People there, church there in the house of Chloe, I assume that this was a church, that they have told me some things in regard to you, that they are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, of Peter, and I of Christ. There's the division right there. There's the division. You wouldn't think that they would have division like that just shortly after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and still have as their instructors, their preachers, their leaders, the apostles who had been with the Savior all these many years. And the great apostle Paul had been their teacher and instructor. You wouldn't think they'd have any problems, but they had problems, personality problems. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. So Paul, in order to refute the error and the division, ask them a question. And he says, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Ask them a question there in regard to their hope. That has to do with a man's hope there. Was Paul crucified for you? See, one other place Paul said, he said that there's no other foundation which can be laid than that which is already laid, and that foundation is Christ. Can't build on any other foundation. Paul baptized for you you? If so, you're building on another foundation. Now, that's one of the great problems of our day. Great problems among religionists in our day is they build upon other foundations. Now, there's a great majority of people in the world that build upon the papal decree. The Roman Catholics build upon the decrees of the Pope. They build upon what the Pope says, what he doesn't say. I was talking to a fellow here recently about, he was telling me, he volunteered his information, I didn't ask him for it. He told me that he was a Roman Catholic, and he said that his wife died, and he said, I married again. And he said the woman I married had been married twice previous to our marriage. And he said, so the Roman Catholics renounced that marriage, or the marriage that we have here. And he said, I'm able to go to church, and we're welcome to attend church, but he said we cannot participate in any of the sacraments. And of course, the sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church are the means whereby we receive the grace of God. That's what they say. They say that you receive the grace of God through the Lord's Supper and through baptism and through marriage and through all of these. There are seven or eight sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church. And all of them are the means of grace, so the Roman Catholics say. So if you're deprived of these means of grace, you're without hope. And so you see, there's many people, many thousands and thousands of people in our day, in our generation, are building upon, was Paul crucified for you? Upon another foundation. And there can be no other foundation. No other foundation except this one foundation, and that's Christ. That's what Paul tells these people who are divided. Going after Cephas, going after Apollos, going after Paul. He said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Building on the wrong foundation. There's a lot of people in the world that build upon the light of natural conscience and renounce the value of the blood of Christ. Have nothing to do with Him. But it's the light of natural conscience that they follow. They build it upon another foundation. That's not what Peter believed. Although he's part of this discussion here, but he didn't believe in that. Now in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, when the Lord spoke to him and asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? He said, some men say that you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say something else, some of the prophets. Well, he said, whom do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ. That's what I say. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you say right, Peter. Blessed art thou, Peter, son of Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. He's revealed this unto thee. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock. What rock? That rock. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. You see, that's the foundation that men are to build upon. Men are not to build upon repentance. Lots of people build upon that foundation, repentance. They feel it because they trust in their repentance. And if a man trusts in his repentance, he's building upon his repentance, and that's a false foundation. That's not the foundation that will hold up when the storms of life come. That's like these people here building, dividing, building upon other foundations. Was Paul crucified for you? I'm reminded of of this repentance business, confession of sin. People think that lots of people, hundreds and thousands of people, believe that because they have repented, I've repented of my sins, and they have confidence in their repentance and feel that their repentance has something to do with their relationship to God somehow. They build upon that repentance. They make restitution. They go to great lengths to make restitutions for past error in their life. Go to families and say, well, I've wronged you in years gone by and I want to right that wrong. Or I've defrauded you of money. Let me make that good. I'm a Christian now. Now, I'm not saying those things are not right or anything. I'm saying that when put in the wrong perspective and a man starts to build upon his repentance because he did this and because he did that, he's building upon the wrong foundation. See? He's going to miss out. A man can't repent of all of his sins. That is, make restitution for all of his sins. He can repent of them. His mind can be changed. His attitude can be changed. He can't make restitution for all of his sins. Can't do it. So you got to get away from this business of building upon repentance. A lot of sins you forgot about. A lot of sins I forgot about. Sins in the past that we've committed. Bad and evil and vile sins. People think the only sin that to be condemned is the outward act, that is murder or some viciousness that has come to the front, and we've committed some terrible crime against society. Some of the most terrible sins that can be committed are sins of the mind. Sins of the mind that we've committed years and years ago, and we've forgotten about those sins. We could not remember those sins if our life depended upon it, but yet those sins were terrible, terrible sins that we committed against God and against society in our minds. See? So you can't repent. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility to make restitution for all of your sins. And thus, you can't build upon repentance. Can't even build upon the confession of sin. Can't build upon anything except Christ. Can't do it. Now, Peter here that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He built upon, his confidence was upon that foundation that was laid another place in Peter's preaching, there in the book, first part of the book of Acts. Peter said that there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus. Now what he was saying there, there's no other foundation. No other foundation. You can't build upon repentance. You can't build upon visible ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper and baptism and external privileges. And you can't build upon those things and expect to be right, have the right relationship with God. Can't do it. And that's what's involved here. Was Paul? That's what's involved when Paul said, "Was is Paul crucified for you?" Paul couldn't pay our sin debt. Nobody can pay our sin debt except Christ. Nobody. He's the sinner savior. If the sinner's ever saved, it's got to be by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save the sinner. He alone can honor and magnify the law of God. He alone can live the perfect and righteous life that the sinner needs to live in order to gain acceptance with God. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's not me. It's not my... Some people think, when you talk about... You say, well, I know that things is right. And I know that I'm right with God. And there's no fear of dying. If I die tomorrow, I know that the angels of God will escort me into glory. People sometimes misunderstand language like that, then they say, well, it sounds to me like there's boast and brag in that. No, brethren, people are misunderstood. When they understand people like that and feel that there's boast and brag there. There's brag there, yes. There's boast there, but not of yourself. Not of yourself. I brag on Him. I brag on Him. I boast of Christ, not of me. I have no righteousness. He does, though. I boast of His righteousness. If I'm ever to go to heaven when I die, if I'm ever to go to be with the Lord when I die, it'll be because of Christ. It'll be because He paid that which was due me. I didn't pay it. I didn't pay the price that God demanded for my sins, which is death, but He did. He did. He paid it. Now for me to say, well, I don't know whether I'll ever make it or not. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm just hoping that I can live long enough and work long enough and cry long enough and pray long enough and give long enough that somehow God will be merciful to me in the end. Well, that's not salvation. That's not salvation. That's a dishonor to God. That's a dishonor to Christ. That's saying that you don't believe that Christ did all He said He did. I believe that He did all that He said He did. He said He died in the sinner's stead. He said that, and I come to see by the grace of God and the revelation of the Spirit of God that I'm the poor sinner for whom Christ died. So I've got nothing to brag about. I brag on Him. I boast of His doing, His dying. It's Christ that satisfied everything that God's law had against me. It's Him. I point men to Him. I don't point men to me. I don't point men to themselves. I say, look to Him. He died. He suffered. He bled. He was buried. He rose again. He ever lives. Look to Him. Can you see in Him a Savior? See, don't look to yourself. Don't build on another foundation. Look to Christ. Say, well, God demands absolute right. That's right, He does. I haven't got it. I haven't got it, but He does. He has it. He has it. He's got everything that the sinner needs. He's got it. A perfect righteousness. He's got it. I haven't got it. Some people believe that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ being attributed to us makes us righteous. No, it doesn't make us righteous. He's righteous. It doesn't make us righteous. The righteousness of God imputed to us does not make us righteous. It declares us to be righteous in Him. Our righteousness is in Him. I've got no righteousness. As far as righteousness that would somehow tend to justify any sinner before God, the best saint that ever lived doesn't have that much righteousness. That is, that would tend to justify it before God in light of God's law, in light of God's claim. But He does. See, He does. Christ does. He has it. I don't have it. He hasn't made me righteous. He declared me to be righteous on the basis of who He is. Give it to me. Freely. Just give it to me. Now, for me to say He didn't do it would be to impugn the wisdom and the honor and the love of Christ is doing this dying, and I just won't do that. I brag on Him. I brag on Christ. I'm bragging on me. Bragging on Christ. You see what I'm talking about? Don't build on anything else except Christ. Paul wasn't crucified for these poor people at Corinth. Neither was Cephas. Neither was Apollos. Christ. Christ. Be of the same mind, Paul said. Well, it goes on. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you save Crispus and Gaius. I only baptized two of you. Maybe some more that I don't remember, but that's the only two that I remember that I baptized. Lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. That's one reason why I didn't baptize him. People go around and say, well, he baptized him in his own name. Paul said, I didn't do that. I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other or not. I don't know. I didn't count my baptisms. Boy, that's hard on a lot of preachers nowadays. They count them. You know, they count them. Fellow on the radio I was listening to here not too long ago, and he said, now listen. He kind of tickled me. He said, now listen. He said, this is a work of faith. I said, it's a work of faith. Whatever that is. He didn't know. And by what definitions that he tried to give, I certainly didn't know. But he said, it's a work of faith. It's a work of faith. He said, you want to send some money in to help me? He said, I appreciate it. I'll take it and all. It's tax deductible and all of that. We're registered with the government. Big rigmarole that. Anyhow, he said, we'll send you some literature. I'll send you some books if you'll send me an offering. And he said, and I'll also include my yearly report. Yeah. I'll include my yearly report. You know what he's saying? He said, I'll tell you what all I've done last year. I've been doing a whole lot for God. I've been doing a whole lot for God, and I want you to know about it. I want you to know about it. I'm going to announce this over the radio and got a television program. I'm going to announce it on the television. But I want everybody to know what I'm doing for God. I kept a report down from this time last year until right now. Everything that I done, every time I went to the hospital, I wrote it down. Every time I talked to anybody, I wrote it down. Every time I did this and did that, I wrote it down. I got a complete report here, great big portfolio of facts and figures, and you can have it. You can have it. And that'll tell you how great I am. Now, that's about what a man's saying. It'll tell you how great I am. It'll tell you that, boy, you ought to rub shoulders with me and see what I'm doing for God. Paul, listen, in light of that, this is how old Paul's all. He said, I baptized Stephanus and his household. He said, I might have baptized some others. I don't remember. I don't keep no record. Don't keep any record. Too busy. Paul was too busy serving the Lord to keep a record in order to show off. Just wasn't none of that in Paul. Anyhow, talking about this foundation. Anyhow, he said, Jesus Christ didn't send me to baptize. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. But that's not my primary purpose. God didn't call me to baptize. God didn't call me to socialize. God didn't call me to be a teacher. God didn't call me to hold hands with some. God called me, said, to preach Christ. That's what I do. I preach Christ. I brag on Him. Wherever I go, he said, I boast and I brag on Jesus Christ. He didn't send me to baptize, but to preach Christ. And he said, listen now, he said, I preach Christ. He said, not with the wisdom of words. Not with the wisdom of words. That's hard on some of this generation that aspires to be preachers. That first thing they do is tell you about what Jonathan Edwards said and John Gill said and what the Latin translation is and what the Vulgate translation is and what the Greek has to say about it and what a Hebrew has to say about it and all of that. Paul said, God called me to preach Jesus Christ, not with the wisdom of words. No, he said, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. It's foolishness to them that perish. But unto us which are saved is the power of foolishness. My own testimony is this. For years, what little I ever heard of God in the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ was foolishness to me. It was just foolishness to me. But people could talk about Christ, they could talk about God. I remember going to Sunday school when I was a boy, didn't go much, but when I went, I can vividly remember an old man who taught the Sunday school class, the young boys' Sunday school class of about 14, 15, 16-year-old boys. Now, I remember that he used to talk about the sufferings of Christ, and he just cried. He was way up in his 70s, 75, 80 years old, and he just cried. And I couldn't understand why he cried every time he tried to teach that Sunday school lesson. I couldn't understand. I felt sorry for him. Why did he cry? I know now. I know now. Foolishness to me then. Now it's the power of God. I know why I cry. So do you. So do you. He says, for it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it still doesn't know God by wisdom, and it'll never know God by wisdom. Never will. Know God is by the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of thy wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. That's the way it is. I told you about people building upon other foundations. I mean, they light of conscience, and the Baptists build on this. Church of Christ people build upon baptism and church membership. Some of the Baptist people that I know of build upon denominationalism and sectarianism, so forth. Foolishness to them, foolishness. Greek require sign, or the Jews require sign, the Greeks have. But we preach Christ crucified. That's all we preach, Paul said. And it's a stumbling block unto the Jews, and he says it's foolishness unto the Greeks. And that's the way it is right this very day. Christ crucified is foolishness unto this world. It's foolishness unto me, foolishness unto you, till God revealed himself to you and made the cross of Christ precious to your heart. And then it become different. The word took on meaning. You begin to understand what some things that the Bible said. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. My soul. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty men. Not many noble. Call. But, oh, thank God for them buts. You ever notice them in the Bible? But. Let me read one to you there in light of this. I'll read this one directly, but let me read this. But. Listen to this now. It says this. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. But God, you see, but God. They make a difference. See your calling, brethren. Not many wise men, not many noble. not many mighty are called, but God, that hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why, Paul? Why has God done all this? Why has God chosen base things? Things that are despised and insignificant people. People that of no reputation. People that have no wisdom of their own. People that have no riches or honor. Why has God chosen these poor, poor sinners? Why? Why has he passed over the rich and the mighty and the powerful? Why, Paul? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the answer. What foundation are you and I building on this evening? I hope it's Christ. I hope every one of us, under the sound of my voice, you're building on that foundation. No flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord add his choicest blessing. I confess to you this evening, I had an outline that I was going to preach from this evening. I was going to preach. And I misplaced that outline. I looked all through my Bible, and I couldn't find my notes. Couldn't find them. I don't know what I've done with them. So I had to preach from the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I trust that it's been profitable.